You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com.
All right, everyone. Here we go again. Let's build that energy. Reverend James, hit the music.
Welcome to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, exploring the magical world around us, only on the LMC Radio Network. There are so many fantastic, exciting, and curious things that make up this world we share. Come join us as we explore the spiritual, magical, and wondrous phenomena that enrich our souls and bring color to our days. I am your announcer, Reverend James of FolkConjure.com, located in Western North Carolina. And this week we welcome the amazing Miss Beth of SolarMoonSisters.com in Hamilton, Ohio, bringing back to the show for the discussion on Reiki for Health and Reiki for Peace. In just a moment, we'll be joined by our host, Reverend Art of FolkConjure.com in North Carolina, and our guest, Miss Beth. Make sure you're logged into Blog Talk Radio and join in the discussion via the chat. Now, let's catch up with our host, Reverend Art. Take it away.
And away we go. Welcome to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, your Monday night phenomenon. And if it's Monday, you know what that means. Take a moment, run on over to the Hoodoo Psychics Facebook page, find the Magic Mondays post, and drop your comment for a chance to win a free 15-minute reading with the Hoodoo Psychic of your choice. A lot of great readers, a lot of great insights are just waiting for you. So take a moment. Don't miss out. Magic Mondays on Hoodoo Psychics. All righty. So here we are yet again. And, you know, let's just take a moment. And I'm going to bounce this back over to you, Reverend James. How you doing?
Of course you are. I have my mouth full because I'm eating because we were up until the last minute dealing with some power issues and other issues. It seems the stars have aligned against us for the evening, but perhaps they will move back into alignment somehow. I'm not sure. I'm not going to speak too much on it just because maybe it'll just fade into the background.
Yeah, y'all, I don't profess to be an astrologer at heart. My astrology practice expanded with the publication of Miss Cat's Astrology for Root Workers book last year. Obviously I used moon phases and such, but I'm just going to say, I don't know what the hell is going on today, but it seems like it started from the moment the day began all the way through right up until the show. So if we disappear off the line, bear with us. I'm sure we'll be back somehow, some way. Like Reverend James said, blew a fuse right before the show. Have no idea how or why. We weren't doing anything different. So if y'all have any insights, feel free to share. Reverend Art is listening. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, you know, a lot of good stuff has been going on, though. I mean, today aside, Reverend James and I spent the weekend really kind of prepping some new product lines that we're going to be launching out onto the folkconjure.com website and onto our Etsy store. So thrilled to be starting to share our bath salts, wash crystals, and our powders, and so much more. Got, what is it, 11 batches cooking right now, and should be ready to get those up and out there for all to enjoy and to make everyone's lives better. Outside of that, not much to announce today. Really excited to be back. Apologies for last week. It was yet another evening of Murphy's Law coming to smack us around a little bit. But we'll try to mitigate those moments moving forward. So I'm really thrilled to welcome our guest back tonight. Miss Elizabeth from Solar Moon Sisters in the Cincinnati / Hamilton region of Western Ohio, Southwestern Ohio. Absolutely phenomenal reader. She's so active in her community. And she's probably going to yell at me for my gush moment here, but, just really active in the community, really out there promoting local business, promoting other practitioners, promoting functions, active in the LGBTQ community. She's a fixture at the Hamilton Witches Market every summer. Putting together programs and projects and things to really enrich the community in Western Ohio. It's really someone that I have so much admiration for, and, really is an inspiration for me in plugging, through and just, kind of kicking anything any blockade that gets in her way, just kicking it in the teeth and knocking it down. So that being said, how are you doing today, Beth?
Oh my goodness. That was hilarious timing. Somebody's timer just went off in my office. I am doing okay, but that was like a weird coincidence there. I am doing good, and I will not be upset about the gushing moment because, it all comes around full circle because I am super excited to be doing the BMSE in the fall, and that's something that you always encouraged me to do and told me, like, no, you can do it, because I was just never sure about it. So it's all full circle. It's how we just grow through what we go through together.
We actually let's share with everybody what the BMSE actually is. There's a lot of people who aren't, Great Lakes region-esque individuals that are listening in, probably not too familiar with the Body Mind Soul Expo that goes on. I know it was traditionally twice a year. I think is it just once a year now?
No, it's I know in the Cincinnati region, at least, it's still twice a year. And that's branching off of what used to be Victory of Light. And
right.
I don't know if it's twice a year everywhere, but I do know it is twice a year at the Cincinnati area.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Victory of Light was run by a gentleman who is also a fantastic reader and just a wonderful all-around guy, Victor Peruta. Started Victory of Light in the Cincinnati area and built that expo into really a kind of a destination expo. Hundreds of booths, you know, there's literally something there for every path. And it's just one of those things that you have to kind of experience. And, you know, Victor decided he had his path was diverging, and the Body Mind Soul Expos picked it up and has continued running it since. What are the dates on it again this time around?
That's a great question. It's sometime in November, and I know it is the weekend before Thanksgiving, and I only know that because Thanksgiving is unusually late this year. I should know, but I don't know.
So November.
November 23rd.
Excellent. Yeah, traditionally there was a summer one and a fall expo held when it was Victory of Light. And really, if you're in the area, it's well worth checking out. And this year you'll get to meet the Solar Moon Sisters holding down the fort there in Cincinnati. I'm excited for you. You know, for those that don't know, you know, Beth and I, we have known each other for several years now. And early on, I was like, you know, jump in, do the Victory of Light, do the Victory of Light. And well, that moment has come.
It has. It's so weird. And it's kind of crazy how it happened so organically, because I have been doing a lot of work with my friend Tasha of Three Little Lunas, as well as my friend Tiffany of the Main Retreat, as well as she has her own massage-specific business called A New You. And the three of us all kind of just randomly in a conversation were like, oh, yeah, I think I'm going to do BMSC this year. And I don't know, it was just like the stars aligned and we were like, okay, cool. And we were even able to get two booths next to each other so that the three of us can like spread across this space together. And it's just, I don't know, it's exciting.
You know, really for anyone that's kind of not sure of, you know, whom to meet, whom to reach out to, whom to check up on, BMSE is going to be the place to be. But, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg of the things that the Solar Moon Sisters are doing in Ohio. Since Beth's last appearance, which was, if you can believe it, almost 8 months ago.
Really?
Yeah, September 25th, Building Spiritual Community.
Wow.
You know, things just seem like they've exploded. I mean, your tarot classes sell out. You have an office that you work out of regularly now.
Mm-hmm.
There's I'm trying to see if I can remember everything, because I'm going to forget something. There's the coffee and tarot sessions that you do at local coffee shops in partnership with the coffee shops.
Yeah, we don't just show up.
Do I recall that even one of the local breweries came up with a Solar Moon Sisters blend?
Yes. And it's funny that you say that because I have a can of it in front of me right now because it's so delicious and it's so hot today. We collaborated on a lavender honey lemonade hard seltzer. Their lemonade hard seltzer is like one of the best I've ever had. And I was like, what would Solar Moon Sisters taste like with my friend Dottie? And we were just goofing around about it. And we were like, honey, because I'm obsessed with bees, and lavender because everything is purple in the logo. And we were like, okay, so lavender and honey lemonade. And they were like, that sounds delicious. We'll make that happen.
And from what I understand, anytime it's on tap, it sells out. So if that's a testament to, you know, if you're feeling parched as you're cruising through the area, try to get your hands on
top. Yeah, I mean, it's in cans now, so you can even pick up a six pack of it. It just went out on cans on Friday, and it's already totally sold out. It was sold out by Saturday. But there is some still at the Castle Pint Hamilton. Yeah, there's still some at the Castle Pint Hamilton. They have some of the Sixers still, and they are working to get more into cans because everybody loves it. It's just so good.
And, well, I know you're going to be holding a booth down at the Hamilton Witches Market, which that goes on, that's fairly regularly held throughout the season, correct?
Yes. It starts up in May, although this year we did have a special eclipse market last month. But it kicks off in May and goes through October. Last year we did have some Yule markets, but it kind of just changes depending on what the city needs. And the witches market has actually been expanding big time. Like the person who is in charge of all of that, Isaac, has done an amazing job of just like allowing all of the local vendors in different areas to come together and put on their own witches market. It's been amazing to watch it expand and grow. So if you're in the tri-state, you might even have a witches market near you now.
Yeah, it absolutely enlivens me to just how active you've been in the community and really a driving force for, you know, spiritual paths in the southwestern Ohio region. And if I remember right, you're also participating in, is it Hamilton Pride this year?
We're going to have a booth at Pride Hamilton, which is actually next week, June 1st. Very excited about that. We will be there. We distributed last year at the Witches Market in June as well, but we make a point. I say we. It's me. It's just me. I make a point of including various decks that are inclusive, sometimes even completely gender fluid, so that everybody can see themselves in a tarot deck, because it really does make a difference when you read for yourself, if you can, you know, see yourself in the cards. So that's kind of been an important part of this mission for me.
Very nice. Very nice. And, you know, for those wondering too, is the Solar Moon Sisters book club that I am also a part of.
I think we keep losing Art for some reason. Beth, are you still there?
Yeah. I am still here. I was hoping it wasn't my end.
No, I think he got disconnected. He should be back in just a moment, though. So I wasn't really paying attention to what he was saying exactly.
There he is.
Wow.
It totally dropped me, and I just had this big thing come up on the screen that says, you are no longer connected. And I'm like, well, no shit. I can't hear anything. thank you, Blog Talk Radio. The gremlins are lurking, y'all. The gremlins are lurking.
Always watch out for the gremlins.
The anti-gremlin spray. So where was I? Oh, the Solar Moon Sisters book is out there for anybody that would like to join in. You also run an online like tarot, sort of like almost a tutoring service discussion group, along the lines of like a Patreon. Isn't that correct?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just all over the place. Let's be real. I blame it on the ADHD, right? Like we both know that like I always have to have something going on. And so, you know, we have various chat channels on Facebook for discussing different things. We've opened a Discord as well. Discord is not meant to be my baby. I want it to hopefully grow well beyond me. So it is actually called the Hamilton Spiritual Circle. That name was provided under very funny circumstances. And I'm hoping that as, you know, people learn about it, more and more people join it, because a lot of people are not on Facebook anymore. And so I wanted somewhere everybody could go. That was Discord. Discord is a really popular chat and like voice channel platform. So it's been kind of a very organic move over to there because it's very popular in the gaming community. Then, yeah, we have our various chats throughout Facebook. Some of those are related to the classes that we are either teaching or taking, or they will just be the general chats where everybody can, you know, bring in their daily pool and discuss it. It's not really a new idea. It's definitely something you can do in larger communities and in Reddit and things like that. But we wanted something a little bit smaller so that you knew who you were kind of putting that information out there to. So it is like an open community, but it's still a little bit smaller than, say, like even the greater Cincinnati community.
Excellent. And for those that are interested in catching up and following the Discord channel, which Beth has known me long enough to know that art plus technology does not always work out, but I do have a very small understanding of Discord. Previous things of Blog Talk Radio, Gremlins, interfering with the show, we've jumped over to we have a Discord channel for Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places.
Excellent.
But how would someone connect with you on Discord?
I have posted it on the Facebook, and honestly, I have probably not done enough to promote it. It was kind of one of those things that came about so organically that I was just kind of like, okay, here it is, and I probably have not followed up with it enough. I could not even tell you what the link is right now. But I can share it again on Facebook. So if anybody checks out the Facebook after the show, I will be sure to kind of bump that post back up to the top.
Excellent. Does it have a name, your Discord channel?
Yeah, it's the Hamilton Spiritual Circle.
Excellent. Maybe, I know Reverend James and his adeptness with technology, maybe he can swing through and drop us a link if possible. But, wow. I mean, you really are an inspiration and a huge asset to that Southwestern Ohio, kind of Northern Kentucky-ish region. Is there anything else that I missed that's going on in the world of Solar Moon Sisters?
You say that like I know what's going on in the world of Solar Moon Sisters. I just open up the calendar each day and I'm like, all right, what am I doing today? We started having subscriber content on the Facebook. Again, back to saying we. It's like happened for so long that we were a we, that now that I'm back to like just being like, okay, it's I, it's me, I still slip back into the we language for the business. But really, it's just me at this point. So we started having subscriber content on the Facebook. And that is, you know, weekly challenge questions and distance Reiki and all kinds of fun stuff like that. We started hosting classes at the salon for things outside of like my scope of knowledge. So, like, we recently had a class on the Akashic Records with Water's Edge Tarot because Kirsten is just brilliant. We have started doing, I don't know exactly how to describe them. They are moon-based rituals that we do at the salon. That's myself and Tasha, three little Lunas. And so, like, we just, I don't know, we are a very open community. So we offer these, you know, ceremonies for anyone to join in. We always just kind of say, like, all nonviolent paths are welcome, so that everybody can come together and raise energy and, you know, manifest whatever they're trying to send out into the world. Without having to subscribe to a particular group. It's been interesting. I guess it would just be an eclectic open coven would be one way to put it. And I feel like there's something else, but who knows? I'd have to stare at the calendar. Oh, the gathering. The gathering is the other thing that's going to be coming up. We're doing that again this year. That's going to be really fun.
And that's
and that actually
something that
ties into the topic today.
No, that's actually the gathering is actually something that I'm hoping that maybe Reverend James and I can actually, if we can break away long enough, come and enjoy with you. Can you share with everybody a little bit about what the gathering is?
Yes. So the gathering is, and here is that link to the Discord in the chat. Okay, so the gathering is an eclectic gathering of witches, practitioners. No one has to subscribe to a particular title, right? Like, some people refer to themselves as practitioners. Others are very confident in saying, I'm a witch. Others say, you know, I'm a healer. So it's very eclectic and it's very open, kind of like what we're doing here on a smaller basis in Hamilton. So it was kind of, a very organic thing that we joined up into this larger gathering that happens in Southern Kentucky. And we have really, really enjoyed that because it is a primitive camping, but with a barn that has Wi-Fi and plumbing. So, like, you're camping in the middle of nowhere in a relatively primitive way, but, like, if there's an emergency or something, like, there is a barn at the center of the property where, like, you can get anything you need, right? So it's nice. It's primitive without feeling stranded. And it's
semi-primitive.
Just a gathering. Yes. Yes. Semi-primitive. I like that. We come together for the full moon. Last year it was in October. This year it's going to be in September. And we do several days of vendors and classes and healers and just all kinds of fun things. It's an all-inclusive ticket price. So, like, you pay for your ticket and you can take literally any of the classes as part of your ticket price. So you don't have to worry about, like, oh, I want to do this, but then I can't do that, you know, and it's really, really nice that it's done that way. There you have the option to either camp like with your car or set up a tent somewhere on the property, or there are a few open air cabins. So keep in mind that there's no like plumbing or electricity in them, but they like, if you're like, you know, uncomfortable with rough in it, but not quite in a tent, that is an option. And then I did find out that there are a couple of like hotels and Airbnbs and stuff nearby. So that is always an option too if somebody is like, listen, I am not going to camp. There are options. But yeah, we come together and we share knowledge. And, you know, one of the things we're going to be doing is a Reiki Mawashi where, you know, everybody just sits in a giant circle and it's a giant energy share. And like, that's one thing I'm super excited about. It's just a really beautiful time, just like to be around people who are just open-minded and accepting and just a very, I don't know, like it's almost like that stillness, that sense of peace. It's very beautiful.
Right. You know, we've had several guests on the show over our time on the air. You know, Doc Murphy, we always talk about Paganistan. Deb Voith in Wisconsin, building community there. We've mentioned Lilydale in New York. And this is one of the things that I love the most about the platform is being able to share these regional gems of moments with the listeners and our friends and family and fans to really let everybody know, you know, you're not walking these paths alone. There are folks to reach out to. There are places to go. There are ways to learn that isn't necessarily TikTok.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I just realized it. I think this is going to be a good time to take some messages from our sponsors. And I think that we can jump into our topic for the day and bring the Reiki.
The LMC Radio Network is a media. Uh-oh, does anybody hear music?
I hear it, but it's very faint.
Very strange.
Sundays, 3 to 4:30. Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James. Mondays, 4 to 5:30. The Crystal Silence League Hour with John Saint Germain in syndication. Tuesdays, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LaFay in syndication. Tuesdays, The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield in syndication. Wednesdays, and The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, Thursdays, 4 to 5. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Now some quick announcements. Excuse me, I've got hiccups about those upcoming shows on the LMC Radio Network. On Tuesday, May 21st, on the Crystal Silence League in syndication, will be Spirits and How They Can Help You. Tuesday, March 21st, on the Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron in syndication, will be Rites of Passage and Coming of Age. Sorry, I'm trying to stifle the hiccups. Wednesday, May 22nd, the Now You Know Show in syndication with Professor Porterfield will be The Bible as a Talisman and Five Finger Grass. Thursday, May 23rd, on the Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron live with Miss Elvira and Deborah Voith will be Planting Our Magical and Spiritual Garden. Sunday on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour will be our own Reverend Art bringing a fabulous topic. Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted rootworker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Thank you to all of our sponsors, and back to you, Reverend Art.
And the Monday Murphy's Law continues. Thank you, Reverend James. Yeah, really, I'm actually really excited. I will next week, everybody gets a double dose of Reverend James and Reverend Art. Reverend James and I will be a Lucky Mojo, Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, and Mystics and Mages. All right, so Reiki. Reiki is one of those topics that, you know, a lot of people hear about Reiki, but they don't really kind of dive in and really know a lot about it. It seems very nebulous to most people. And as much as it's growing in popularity around the, you know, not just the United States, but kind of worldwide, it's still kind of, for whatever reason, it's one of those things that just, it's there, but not acknowledged as much as I really think it should be for the benefits that it brings. And I know tonight when Beth and I were discussing what to talk about with Reiki, you know, bringing a little bit of the history to it, I think would help kind of give this a launching point. As you will hear, there are hundreds now of types, quote unquote, of Reiki, different lineages, different masters, different masteries. And we're for our point tonight, we're pretty much going to just focus on kind of like the start of it all. Wouldn't you agree, Beth, is Usui Reiki?
Yeah, I would agree.
So for those that aren't familiar, and I'm not the best at pronouncing names, but Mikao Usui is pretty much looked at as the founder of the current Reiki movement. Would we want to use that, call it a movement, or the alternative therapy, holistic healing practice?
It's safest to probably call it a complementary therapy or healing modality.
Very true. Very good. Yes. It was started in Japan and slowly made its way over to the United States. And, you know, this is one thing that when Beth and I were discussing, I thought was very intriguing is, and I don't really think about this much, but, you know, to make it more of a palatable transition to the Western world, it's Reiki kind of was almost Christianized at one point. And yes. Beth made some really great points. So I'll let you discuss that a little bit.
It's really interesting because the general agreement is that Usui is the father of Reiki. You know, it was part of his monk work to go up into the hills and spend time fasting in the mountains, and that is when it was agreed that he was given the gift of Reiki. What was interesting about it is he then, you know, taught it to Hayashi, who then created the manual and ended up teaching Takaba-chan, who brought it to the United States via Hawaii. She trained about, I believe the accepted number is like 200 masters. And one of those masters was Virginia Sandal. It is generally accepted that this is where a lot of that Christianization happened. She was a minister of a church, and I cannot remember which one off the top of my head. But she actually added in a lot of Christian influence to the story of Usui receiving the gift of Reiki from God and coming down off of the mountain, very much so like the commandments, but with Reiki. And it became very widely accepted in the United States as the story because she actually trained around 2,000 Reiki masters. So it was a huge exponential growth, and so it was kind of just accepted as the majority and the truth of the matter. From there, it got really interesting because it spread throughout the world from this standpoint, and now you'll find Reiki in all different regions with their own regional influences and cultural influences. But there has actually been this really hidden treasure found of one of Hayashi's original students who then went on to teach her child Reiki just as like an everyday part of their life. And they ended up opening up a school of Reiki in Japan. And from there, some Americans have gone to Japan to train because there was no way to learn this modality of Jigen and Reiki in the United States. But now there are a few masters of it in the United States, and you have the opportunity to train with them. And it's very interesting to see the differences and how this same base of Reiki has come into these two very different paths.
You know,
it's fascinating.
It has. You know, when you really think about the development of a lot of the spiritual movements and such, the almost rapid fire way that Reiki just took, just across the U.S. and such, it exploded. And thing well worth experiencing if you have not already. I mean, Reiki in and of itself is, for those that aren't 100% sure, it's an energy healing technique, again, developed in Japan. It's mainly used for stress reduction and relaxation. When you reduce stress and allow the body to relax and regenerate, that promotes healing. Reiki is, the word itself is pretty much its own definition. You know, the word Rei, which is wisdom or higher power, and Ki, which is life force energy. So Reiki, when it comes down to it, is spiritually guided life force energy. For those of us that are, Reiki practitioners, you'll hear a common phrase, the Reiki goes where the Reiki knows it's needed. And when, you're having a treatment, you will find that to be very true. Things that you didn't know that you were having problems with, seemingly just go away. You become aware and they disappear. Fantastic stuff. Reiki in and of itself is based off of five precepts. And for want of being a little preachy tonight, to give you an idea of really the essence of Reiki, it can be broken down into: just for today, I will not worry. Just for today, I will not be angry. Just for today, I will be grateful. Just for today, I will do my work honestly. Just for today, I will be kind to every living thing. And these precepts come together in a way to bring about that healing center not just the practitioner, but in the individuals that experience Reiki. And I know you're a little bit newer to the Reiki path, Beth. What's been your experience as a Reiki practitioner?
It's been really, really interesting. I just received my third attunement in January. So honorary title of master. Anyone who has this title knows that it is a formality and really means just getting started. I have kind of had the benefit of having the community around me that I do have so that we could do Reiki chairs and round tables and things like that. So there is a local yoga studio, One Love Yoga. And I asked them, I was like, you guys do your monthly yoga, or not yoga share, Reiki share. Would you be interested in doing a round table? And they were like, oh, I love that idea. So this really gave us the opportunity to kind of come together and talk as individuals and it's fascinating because the thing that seems to be universal is that it, like, meshes really well with any sort of belief system or even lack thereof, because it just taps into that undeniable truth that, like, we are surrounded by matter and energy, and Reiki just allows us to be a conduit. So for me, that kind of branched out into other things, and the primary way I use Reiki personally is in tarot sessions, especially with shadow work, to help with healing, you know, past trauma, present trauma, any events that you know are going to be particularly triggering. We can, you know, send a little bubble to be waiting for you. It's interesting because I know that this isn't true of every Reiki healer, but I am able to scan an individual or even a pet, like, just from a photo, and I can usually tap in and tell you, oh, you know, this is hurting, or your dog is feeling this kind of way. Like, you know, have their vet specifically test this, and then also send them a little bit of that, you know, just calming energy for this, so they can calm down and kind of take that edge off and allow them to relax until they have a chance to, you know, get whatever it is that's bothering them medically treated. It's honestly just been really fascinating, and I just want to keep doing more and more of it. I really love doing, like, group Reiki on an individual. If someone, you know, we have a few people in the group who have migraines and things like that, and it's just really nice to come together and, you know, put a person on each side of them and someone at their feet and just help them release that migraine so that they have that moment to, you know, get right back into what it is they're trying to do, whereas migraines can be so debilitating. I don't know. It's been really, really cool. It's been so cool, and I just want to do more of it.
You know, you touched on a small point that I think we should explore a little bit further is you just received your third attunement, which, congratulations. You know, attunements are, within Reiki, are different empowerments, different, almost like, for lack of sounding like a video game, you know, a power-up as you walk the path of Reiki. The first level Reiki attunement is typically Reiki for yourself, you know, performing Reiki on yourself, to promote self-healing, to promote relaxation, to promote tranquility, to reduce stress. And Reiki, the second Reiki attunement is distance Reiki, which is one of those, you know, things like what you were saying, Beth, with using the photographs and such too. A lot of times, you know, a lot of practitioners will use a proxy. I personally have a teddy bear that I use when I do distance Reiki. It was just really a cute teddy bear, and that was it just kind of spoke to me. But you know, being able to send Reiki at a distance to your target, you don't really need much more than, you know, presence of mind. Some people like to use proxies, like I said, photographs. I know people that actually will use, like, Barbie and Ken dolls. I've known people to use so many different styles for doing distance
That's
Reiki.
Fascinating. I mean, even in the hoodoo vein, I'm personally going to make myself a puppet with chakra stones in it. And that is going to be my distance tool. It's basically anything that gives you the ability to visualize.
Right. Right. And, you know, moving a little bit further past Reiki 2, the Reiki 2 attunement is the Reiki Master. Reiki masters are, it kind of brings it all together. At each level of Reiki, there are sacred symbols that you learn that are used in the application. Almost for those that follow, different magical paths along the lines of like a sigil that, helps to focus energy in a certain way. You have, once you reach that master level, you receive the power symbol that it's kind of the capstone of bringing all of the energies together, and is preparing that practitioner to also be able to teach and to therefore pass attunements themselves, which is some lineages will combine the master teacher level. Some lineages separate out the teacher from the master levels and create almost a fourth level. It really depends on that individual master's personal feelings on that. I personally, my master had a fourth level with the teacher level, and I appreciated that, as it did allow the Reiki 3 attunement to kind of settle in and prepare for the future. And let's see, we do have a question in the chat. Dr. Sweet says, can you perform Reiki on yourself? The energy you send, where does it come from? From within, from the universe, or spirit? As far as can you perform Reiki on yourself, yes. And one of the things, if for anybody that's looked at the image spinner for tonight's show, I did include several videos of, or several photos of different hand positions that Reiki practitioners will use. Some Reiki practitioners, I will say, are hands-on. Some are not. It really depends on the recipient and their preference. If they prefer not to be touched, Reiki can be done hands off completely. But there are typically 7 hand positions that you learn during your Reiki 1 attunement, during Reiki for the self, that works to channel that life force energy, that universe energy, through the chakra system. And, it helps to clear out blockages. And, I joke sometimes and I call it like the Roto-Rooter of energy modalities. But as far as can you, yes. Did you have anything that you wanted to add, Beth?
No, not really. Not to that part.
One thing I did want to add, though, is for those who are not as spiritually prepared for taking on Reiki, you did mention, Dr. Sweets, about does the energy come from spirit? Spirit definitely plays a role when you're doing Reiki, and I'm not sure, Beth, if you've experienced this yet, but as you are performing Reiki on yourself or on others, images will come through. You will hear, you'll connect not just with the recipient, but also with their spirit guides, and they will work with you to guide this energy as you're working. It's a very unique experience to be having you know, divinatory impressions, at the same time doing, you know, the energy work and working to focus all of this into one. But it's a hell of a dynamic that that it does build. And Troll T did ask how many Reiki levels. We touched on that briefly. Okay, I think I'm caught up on questions. I think Reverend James usually keeps me in check if I miss a question.
I don't know. I'm answering some in chat.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, with the whole where does it come from thing, it can be really complicated too, because there are different modalities where you are using your own personal life force for healing. And so it can be very, very important that if you are trained in some sort of modality that does use personal life force, that you understand how to separate that from using Reiki healing, because Reiki can be very, very draining if you're using it from your own life force. And technically it wouldn't be Reiki at that point. Reiki is all of that energy that you're drawing up from the world. And that is one of the things that was so fascinating about doing like Reiki shares, is seeing different people's techniques, where some people literally cut a symbolic thread and tie it off to the person. Or they, you know, the idea is, once that channel is open, like you function as a conduit, but as you step away, that energy still flows to that person. So the Reiki session doesn't technically end when you know, take hands off or shift your focus. And then with the mentioning of like working with spirit, I think that experience is going to vary widely based off of the individual healer.
Yes.
If someone is not already inclined with their clairs, they may not experience Reiki like someone who is used to working with spirit, or someone who is used to having those open conversations with spirit guides and things like that. But what's nice is, like, we always joke, like, Reiki doesn't care. Reiki is going to go where it's going. All you are doing is being a conduit. So even if you don't have clairs, even if you don't work with spirit guides, like, Reiki is still going to flow to where it's supposed to go. And that's probably, like, the most fascinating thing about it is, like, individual beliefs need not apply. Reiki does what Reiki wants.
Very true. Very true. For a lot of folks that are, you know, rather sensitive in the clairs, I have found that as they progress through Reiki, it's been my experience that the clairs actually become a lot stronger as you practice too. So something to keep an eye on. And really, it complements very well. And we're getting some really good questions from the chat. Can Reiki be used with singing bowls and incense? You know, fantastic combinations. You know, like Beth said, it really, Reiki complements anything. It is a complementary practice. Some of the most intense sessions that I've participated in as a Reiki practitioner, as well as sessions that I've had as a recipient, have included things like a sound bath, using singing bowls, placing the singing bowls actually on you, and running them, letting that vibration just work its way through the body. It's almost like a massage of sound. It's so hard for me to describe. I don't know. I don't know, Beth or Reverend James, if either of you can articulate it better than I am.
Yeah, I mean, it's it's interesting. It is. It's like experiencing a massage, but like spiritually. I don't know. It's like if your spiritual body could receive a massage, that's what sound healing is.
You know, my master teacher used and was very fond of using, she had a set of tuning forks that were, you know, that she would play as she was working at each level of the chakras system. You could literally feel the energy of the room change with each tonality coming through. We are going to see, you know, there is a lot of additional tools and such that can be used with Reiki. You know, I myself will use, you know, quantum touch healing, which is another energy healing form, in conjunction with Reiki. I do burn incense during a Reiki session to kind of, you know, bring about that relaxation, that peaceful mind. There's energy tapping and so many other energy healing modalities that can also be used in conjunction with Reiki. I do want to mention too, there's a lot of people, you know, a late friend of Reverend James and myself, who was very strong in the spiritual world, very, very adept at many things, used to like to joke about different things when, you know, we'd be talking about it, and he'd just, oh, it's just a bunch of hooey. And, you know, speaking jokingly, but a lot of people do have that feeling about Reiki itself.
Yeah.
And one thing I did want to point out during the course of the show is this isn't something that Reiki isn't only found in yoga studios or metaphysical shops or, you know, spiritual gatherings. Reiki has gone mainstream. Reiki is practiced. There are Reiki departments at the top five hospitals in the United States. The Cleveland Clinic, if anybody's familiar with them, they have Reiki practitioners on staff.
Getting back to the origin, when Hayashi went to Usui to learn Reiki and the healing modality as a whole, is because he used it with the Japanese Navy. So, like, it was never just about spiritual healing. Like, he literally used it to heal people who were ill or injured out at sea, where they may not be able to get other options.
Very true. Very true. This is one of those weird kind of intersections where the spiritual community and the scientific community have come together.
Yes.
And been, it, to think about it, for, as far as a validation of a particular practice, if Cedars-Sinai, Johns Hopkins, Cleveland Clinic, William and Mary, and so many other hospital systems are utilizing and have on staff Reiki practitioners, they are also teaching in nursing schools these tenets as well, and passing a
therapeutic touch.
Therapeutic touch.
Yeah.
You know,
it is a valid continued education course from accredited universities.
And a lot of people who really have not taken the time to kind of dive into and understand Reiki as it's grown in the US and abroad, have missed that connection between and allopathic medicine. And it fascinates me. Just I watch the videos when I find them on YouTube, and there are several really good videos on YouTube about the Reiki practices at some of the bigger hospital systems in the U.S. And I strongly urge everybody to check those out. The Reiki, is it Reiki.org website also has some nice videos that kind of give an idea of, you know, what it's like to practice self-Reiki. It will show the different hand positions and what to expect. The International Association of Reiki Practitioners, IARP, is another great organization to reach out to for more information regarding Reiki and its effectiveness in promoting health. It's surprising to me when there are things, you know, like, you know, Reverend James and I and many of our friends, we are, you know, holistic practitioners. We do our root work, we do our conjure, maybe mix in a little kitchen witchery here and there. But we understand the benefits that come with, you know, herbal uses and different things like that in promoting health as a holistic treatment versus the chemical treatments that are most people's go-tos in this day and age. And if you think about it, when it comes down to it, the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, has not, what's the word I'm looking for, approved so many known herbal remedies that have benefited millions over centuries, still done today, still ongoing. There's a very few herbal remedies that even can kind of hit the FDA or National Institutes of Health radar. I can only think of a couple off the top of my head, mainly green tea and like St. John's wort, two of the main ones. And Reiki in the time period that from where it started till now to being accepted in the medical community already in what, less than 100 years? It just blows my mind. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Sorry, I got lost in chat. I started reading all the chat that's going on. It's just,
yeah.
Questions. I love it. It's terribly distracting, but terribly wonderful because there's just so many, I don't know. I love when people ask questions because if you have a question, somebody else listening is going to have a question and, you know, so on and so forth. I'm just really enjoying the whole discussion happening there.
You know, I do see one point that's being made in the chat that I kind of wanted to talk about is, you know, they're with the proliferation of Reiki, we'll say types, we'll go with types. There has, you would think, an organic result of this, you'll have those individuals who like to say that my Reiki is better than your Reiki. My fairy princess Reiki is better than your red dragon Reiki, or your, I don't know, Frito-Lay Funyuns Reiki is better than my Frito-Lay Funyuns Reiki is better than your Pepsi Cola Reiki. Same again.
That was a real
Reiki
struggle
brings
for you,
all the
wasn't
boys
it?
To the yard. You know, I'm bringing.
Oh boy.
I'm trying to bring a little bit of light to this, that different modalities, or different types, different forms of Reiki, they all bear the same basis. And if you find that one type works better for you as a recipient, or if you find that one type speaks to you more as a healer and practitioner, then go for it. But I really question anyone who will say my Reiki is better than your Reiki. Troll T talks about Karuna Reiki in the chat. And this Karuna is one of those adaptations that it took Usui and kind of tried to add it to a new level. There's another called Holy Fire Reiki, which between Karuna, Holy Fire, and basic Usui, those are kind of the three primary sort of types that, you know, I do come into contact with.
I mean, if you're taking Reiki and adding something to it, it's not just doing Reiki anymore. Like when I use my mediumship to spot precisely where an animal is injured or ill, I don't say, oh, well, my Reiki is better than yours. Well, no, I'm just using a skill set that I have with an additional skill set that I have. So it's not even an appropriate argument. And anyone who says their Reiki is better than someone else's is honestly deluding themselves.
You put it, I think, a lot better than I did just now. You know, everyone likes to have that 15 minutes in the spotlight, I think. And I believe that's where a lot, you know, it's one of those conversations. It's one of those discussions that, you know, we could honestly have this about, you know, just about anything when it comes to the spiritual world. And I, you know, when it comes to my X is better than your Y, et cetera, et cetera. You know, Reverend James put it very well in the chat. It's subjective, not empirical evidence. You know, maybe.
Right. How do you metric, like create a metric that measures how effective one Reiki is over another?
Right. You know, in another, differentiation and that Troll T brings up, you know, about opinions, whether, you know, hands-on Reiki is more valuable than distance Reiki, or even if it's in person, but, you know, not hands-on, if that has a, you know, an addition to it, you know, there's a lot of, there's always going to be these arguments, and that's not to imply fighting. That's, you know, like a lot of people kind of they don't take into consideration the actual definition of the word argument. It's not, you know, fighting against something else. It's, you know, it's having that discourse to come to an agreement. But it's, I would just say be wary of the my Reiki is better than your Reiki or my Reiki is better than that Reiki types of comments, and really follow it back to the, you know, consider the source. You know, Reiki.org is, let me see, if I remember right, yes, that is founded by William Lee Rand, who was a very early kind of adoptee of Reiki and proponent of Reiki, and by virtue of being one of the initial individuals to kind of popularize it and bring it a little bit more mainstream, is seen as somewhat of I hesitate to say a guru, but that's the general direction I'm going with this. But even Rand's origins are in Usui. And while the website has evolved over the years, the foundations still stay the same. And that's kind of goes back to the, you know, it's all part and parcel of the same thing. Am I making sense?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's just the point that we obviously agree on is that, like, it's all going back to Usui. Like, there's only one starting. It's the general concept of always go back to the source, right? Who's the source? Okay, who's that person's source? Who's their source? So things are definitely going to evolve with time and, you know, different cultures and different experiences. But when it all comes back to Usui Reiki, who is, you know, the creator of it all, it's impossible to say, like you said, you know, my Reiki is better than your Reiki, because it can't be. It's all the same source. And so when you start adding other things to it and changing what Reiki is at its core, well, you're comparing apples versus oranges instead of, you know, two different kinds of apples like Fuji and Granny Smith, you know, like once you start getting into these false comparisons, like it becomes impossible to say, well, mine's better than yours. It's like, well, no, the Reiki is the same. You've just added some glitter to it and you're calling it something else.
And this is something that, you know, we see quite often in many different avenues of, you know, in walks of spiritual life. Did you see the question, where did Usui come from? Makao Usui, he actually was born in Japan. I want to say he passed in the early 20th century, somewhere 1925 to 1927, 1926-ish.
I can't help with dates. I don't do numbers.
You know, he is accredited with really bringing Reiki into existence and kind of it really bringing he's known as the father of Reiki.
I think what he's asking more about, though, is Usui as a lineage or as the type of Reiki. So in this case, it's not where did Usui Miko come from. It's where did Usui's Reiki come from.
It was a part of his spiritual quest. I cannot remember what type of monk that he was, because memory is not my best factor here, but he was out on his spiritual quest when he was gifted with the knowledge of Reiki. So it would be that it came from a divine source from as part of his spiritual quest. But again, there is also the Americanized version that believes that Usui was gifted the gift of Reiki up in the mountains, much like the Ten Commandments were gifted from God. So again, it's going back to the early origins, and to do that, you actually have to look into some of the early Hayashi manuals, because again, it's gotten so diluted down over the years.
It really has. And as far as it's almost like, you know, reading comic books and how fast somebody, you know, a new player will change an origin story in a heartbeat. But he was a monk. He led a fairly monastic life of, you know, study and working to further the human condition through meditation and really trying to build that connection to the universe. And that's in the, during the course of all this, he developed the different Reiki symbols that are used to harness the different Reiki levels, the different Reiki level forces. Much like we said earlier, much in the same way that sigils are used. You can think of, you know, any number of different sigils that are drawn during any kind of ritualistic practice. The Pentacles of Solomon, Bebes, what have you. And a lot of it came just through his own meditations and practice. The one story, well, I shouldn't say story, but the one recounting that I appreciated the most, really, Usui was pragmatic as well as a little bit of a skeptic in and of itself, where it was develop, test, and really bringing everything together into what became known as the Usui system of Reiki. I'm hoping that wasn't as long-winded as it felt.
So I am looking for confirmation. So the most popular religions during this time period in Japan would be Shinto and Buddhism. And I am not finding confirmation either way of whether he was specifically Shinto or Buddhist. But it does show that Shigendo, which is the journey, the 21-day fasting up into the mountains, was a part of both Shinto and Buddhist practices. So that would actually be kind of tricky to track down, just because, what documentation do we have, especially in the United States, to track down this information? Again, the reason why there is separate modalities of the same Usui, Reiki, is because it was lost after it was brought into the United States. And then the practices that did do Jikiden Reiki were all very closed off to the rest of the world. And so tracking down that information in these closed communities may honestly be impossible.
Yeah, I think the best term to use is he was a lay monk. He wasn't He was a spiritual aspirant. He was a lay monk. He wasn't necessarily a direct adherent of any one path, like whether you wanted to talk about Buddhism, Taoism, Shintoism, which, you know, the three really kind of built up in Japan at the time of his life. I want to make sure that we got everything from the chat for tonight. This has been a fantastic discussion. And really, I'm hoping that, you know, through the course of this discussion tonight, that we've been able to kind of shed some light on and build a little bit of excitement and understanding around the Reiki practitioners, Reiki practice, and really the precepts of, you know, bringing about peace. There are regular, you know, Beth had talked about Reiki shares, where, you know, groups of individuals get together and just literally do Reiki on each other, and it builds into this huge ball of peaceful energy that is then sent out into the world. There are symbols placed in troubled areas around the world that get published online and serve as a focal point for Reiki practitioners to send peace and healing energies to these areas. You'll find it, I mean, there's actually, I've kind of lost track of them. Oh, and there's the music. Well, that's all the time we have for tonight, everybody. I sincerely hope you've enjoyed your time with us this evening. And until the next time we meet, let's keep that magic alive. Take us out, Reverend James.
Thank you, Reverend Art. And thank you, Beth, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when we'll be welcoming another fine guest. We've come to the end of this episode of Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, the LMC Radio Network. You can find Reverend Art at FolkConjure.com and at FolkConjure on Facebook and Instagram, on the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, on readersandrootworkers.org, and on Hoodoo Psychics. I am your announcer, Reverend James, joining you from FolkConjure.com in North Carolina. Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, and the shows are available in archive via mysticsmages.com/radio show and on the Lucky Mojo Forum. For all of us at Mystics and Mages, I would like to thank you for being here, and be sure to follow at Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places on Facebook and at Mystics, Mages, Magical Places on Instagram for updates and news. We'll be back next week at the same time. Come sit a spell. Wink, wink. Relax and enjoy the show. We've only just begun. Thank you for your patience, everybody. Good night.
And a little bit of a note real quick on next week's show. Our guest will actually be our good friend JD from Hoodoo House Detroit, hot off of his appearance on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour last night. And stay tuned. We'll share his topic with y'all soon. Thank you, everybody. And thank you, Beth, for joining us again tonight. You're welcome back anytime you would like. For everybody out there,
thank you for having me.
Have a blessed week. Take care. Good night.